Good morning, and a very warm welcome in the holy name of Jesus Christ. For those of you who are visiting with us this morning, if you're here for the very first time, we're glad to have you, and we trust that even as you've come with a heart of faith and worship to God, that I know that only God can meet us wherever we need Him the most. St. Augustine said almost 2,000 years ago, he said, in every human being, there is a God-created vacuum that only He can fill. Are you listening to me? In every human being, there is a God-created vacuum that only God can fill. And so this morning, as we come to Him, I trust that His word would become real in our lives, and we would hear Him, we would experience Him, we'll see Him, and our God wants to have a relationship with us. He wants to speak to us. He is more willing to speak to us than we are willing to listen. He is more willing to reveal Himself than we are willing to see Him. And this morning, I trust that each and every one of us will have a perspective, would have some kind of engagement, some kind of encounter with the living Christ. Christ is alive. I want you to shout, Christ is alive. Christ is alive. So let me quickly share this morning. We're going to have an anointing service, and we're going to anoint you with oil. There may be prophetic words. We didn't come for the prophetic words. We didn't come for the oil. We came for Jesus. Everybody's okay. The oil is just a symbol of the Holy Spirit, of anointing, that's all. But we came because we want Jesus to do something in our lives. We want Jesus to do something definite, something clear, something tangible, something concrete, something unique, something special. We want Jesus to do something significant this morning. Above everything else, we want Jesus to do something sacred. And only He can do that. The book of 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse number 1. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse number 1. 2 Chronicles is in the Old Testament. And if it's 2 Chronicles, you'll know it is after 1 Chronicles, right? I am smart. Now when Solomon finished his prayer, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Now when Solomon finished his prayer, fire came down from heaven, consumed the burnt offerings and sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. This morning, we believe that we've been in a period of prayer. We've been fasting, praying, meditating on the scriptures, seeking God over a period of time. And how many of you enjoyed this? Hey, only about 1.5 people. How many enjoyed this? All right. I trust that we'll do this again in 2018. And we will press in, because we have to return to the ancient pathways. We have to return to the ancient scriptures, fasting, praying, staying in His presence, hearing from Him. We need to come to that place where we don't go after stuff. We are the stuff. We don't run after miracles. Miracles flow through us. Where we're not looking for signs and wonders flow through us. Are you listening to me? That day must come. That day must come for us. That day must come for me. That day must come for you. We cannot live normal lives. We cannot live as business as usual. We cannot go back to secular ways of doing things. We can't copy from somebody else. We have to go back to the Holy Book. We have to go back to the Holy Scriptures. And in the Scriptures, we find Christ. I said in the scriptures we find Christ. And when we find Christ, we want to be like him. What you behold, you want to become. I thought that was a good place to say amen. What you see is what you want to become. And the more we see Christ, the more we want to become like him. We want to become like him. And so, the book of Chronicles says, now when Solomon finished his prayer, fire came down from heaven. Somebody say fire. Fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and sacrifices. And so we're not in an Old Testament pattern, but the Old Testament is a school teacher. It's an old school teacher that teaches us all of the stuff is fulfilled in Jesus Christ and in his church, all right? And so the fire came down and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. In the 21st century, because we believe in Jesus, we are the sacrifice. We bring the sacrifice of praise. Are you listening to me this morning? We become the burnt offering to God. We become the sacrificial lamb to God. Because Paul says in the book of Romans chapter 12 that we must come place ourselves on the altar as living sacrifices. How many of you excited? Say amen. We become the living sacrifices. We don't cut bulls and goats and doves and turtles and all of that and spray the blood, because Christ is that sacrifice. Now we become the sacrifice. Are we going to say, I am the sacrifice? The Bible says, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The glory of the Lord is the splendor of the Lord. The glory of the Lord is the majestic, awesome honor of the Lord. The honor of the Lord. We need to have church where the splendor of the Lord is revealed again. We need to have church where the glory of the Lord comes. Not motivational preaching. Not something that will tickle your flesh and be smart to your mind. We need to come to church, and wherever church is, in your home is also church, right? Come on, say my home is also church. Wherever you are, at work is also church. Because wherever we go, we are the church. Are you listening to me this morning? Say, we are the church. I want you to say, I am the church. I am the church. We are the church. Wherever we go is church. And wherever we are, there has to be the glory of the Lord, the splendor of the Lord, the majesty of the Lord. That word glory talks about his splendor. The literal understanding in the Hebrew is splendor, majesty, and honor. The honor of the Lord, the honor of his name, the honor of his substance. It's the integrity of the Lord. When you talk about honor, you're talking about somebody's character. The character of the Lord must be displayed, demonstrated, exhibited wherever we are. Wherever we are. That means in the office, on the highway, when you're driving, when you're playing soccer. That is why if you're a follower of Christ, you can't be tripping people on the soccer field. That is not the honor of God. That's not his character. God doesn't trip people. He doesn't kick people. He doesn't cause foul things to happen. Do you understand? Because it's his honor. And so we have to, the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 1, the glory of the Lord. That means the honor of the Lord fill the temple. In our business, the honor of the Lord must fill the temple, must fill your temple. In your career, the honor, the glory, the majesty, the splendor of the Lord, the beauty of the Lord must be evidenced right where you are, whether you're driving your car. That is why if you're a follower of Christ, you must be a good driver, must drive well, know the road signs. Are you listening to me? When you're traveling in the taxi, you know in the taxi? Say taxi. If you're traveling in the taxi, you must speak well of everybody. Don't try and be funny in the taxi. Don't be ugly in the taxi. Don't be nasty. Because the glory of the Lord must fill the taxi. Why is the glory of the Lord filling the taxi? Because you are present. The church is present. There's splendor there. There's honor there. There's majesty there. It's majestic. In your office, it has to be unusual. It must be different because you are present there. You carry the grace of God. You carry His presence. You carry His character, the honor of the Lord. In your home, when you're making the biryani, you're just not going to throw things into the biryani. No, you do it with honor, splendor. You do it with beauty. You are majestic about cooking your biryani. Why? Because you carry something. You carry the grace of God. How many of you are listening to me? Somebody say amen. Amen. And so this morning, we're having an anointing service. And I want you all to stay in the presence of God. Just stay. Don't rush and go. The biryani can get burnt. We'll say it is a burnt offering to God. All right. It's your sacrificial offering to God. Just stay, soak in His presence. Receive from Him. Sometimes nobody will touch you. Nobody will say any word to you. But just because you were in His presence, God Himself will touch you. Are you listening to me? Jesus will come and visit you. And I want to believe God that will happen this morning. Jesus will visit you. He'll put His hand on you and say, "Son or daughter, thy sins are forgiven. You are healed this morning." Whatever. Wherever you need Him the most. Are you listening? And I don't think it's out of the realm of the possibility. Because without God, all things are possible. And I believe it can happen and it'll keep happening. We need to see. We need to come to this place where it's normal. Where Jesus to visit you. Are you listening to me this morning? Where it's normal for Jesus to visit you. Where it's normal for supernatural things to happen in your life. Normal. It's not like, hey, you know what? Jesus came to me last night. My hair stood on end. No, normal. Jesus doesn't, because Jesus is not spooky also. He is also normal. Are you listening to me? And so we need to come to that place. But let me talk to you about anointing for a few minutes, and then we're going to turn this meeting over to Jesus and let Him do what He has to do. Are you listening? Anointing, the word anointing in the scriptures has a background. Like all words have a context. All words grow out of a context. And in the ancient past in the Middle East, you'd have an agrarian civilization, an agrarian society. When I say agrarian, it means that it is A-G-R-A-R-I-A-N, right? Agrarian means it is agricultural. It's a farming community, right? So you'll see Jesus when He talks, He always uses, He'll say wheat, He'll say seeds, He'll say all of these things because you're talking about a farming community, not an iPhone community, right? Talking about an agrarian community, farming, farmers. Everybody had to live off the land. So in a farming community, you'd have wheat, grain, and all of that, but you'd also have cattle and sheep and goats and horses and camels and everything. So the sheep in particular, what will happen to the sheep is this. When you have lots of sheep and the sheep are in the field, all kinds of bugs will come and attack the sheep. Are you listening to me? All kinds of bugs will come in. Attack the sheep. Insects will come and attack the sheep. Lice will come and attack the sheep. Ants will come and attack the sheep. All the stuff moving in the felt, in the ground, will come and attack the sheep. This is how they'll attack the sheep. The significant place where they attack the sheep is the head. I want to point to you, say head. Head. Right. I see some people saying like head. Head, right? Head. They'll attack the head. So the bugs will come onto the head. The place where the bugs normally go when it's attacking the sheep when the sheep is in the felt, will be the eyes and the ears. Are you listening to me? They'll come and attack the sheep's eyes, attack the sheep's ears. Now, do you realize when your head is irritable, your whole body is irritable? How many of you realize that? And if your eyes get damaged, get sore, some of you, I know some of you have had cataracts. Some of you have, and they have it removed. Some of you have cataracts right now. And you know when you have cataracts on your eyes, you can see perfectly, right? Yes, no. No, you can't, because you have low vision. Sometimes you'll be looking at me and saying hello to somebody else. Then I'm thinking you're talking to me, but you're talking to somebody else because your vision is low. Or you'll hear something. Somebody will say, good morning, how are you? No, my car broke down this morning. It's like, but I said, hello, good morning, how are you? Are you listening? You didn't hear properly. Are you listening? You didn't hear properly. So the sheep, what will happen? The sheep, the eye will get affected. The ears will get affected. And the head becomes irritable. Three significant places. And so the shepherd will do is smear oil over the sheep's head. Rub the oil down, so when the first bug comes, it gets trapped in the oil. Are you listening? And so, that's how the word anointing comes. Are you listening to me? That's how we get the word anointing. The word anointing in the Hebrew, is a very unique word. It's the same word for Messiah. Messiah. It's the exact word that we use for Jesus. Messiah, the Savior. So he comes and stops. What does the Messiah do? He rolls back. He stops. He prevents. He restricts. He puts an end to anything that will attack your head, anything that will blind you, or anything will stop your hearing. Jesus, the anointed one, will remove the curse. He'll remove the burden. He'll remove anything that the devil wants to place on you. Are you listening to me this morning? Anointing. So, now that I've cleared that up with you, I want you to know there are three significant places inside of a human being. Your head, your eyes, and your ears. This morning, I want you to know, if you are not anointed of God, your head will be damaged. You'll have head damage. Because in your head, in your brain, the Bible says, Paul says, that you must be renewed. Where? Hey, talk to me, man. Where must you be renewed? In your mind. A mind that is not renewed by Christ is a mind that has not been anointed by him. You have no oil from Christ over your mind. And this morning I want to believe God for fresh oil over your mind, that your mind can be renewed. So you'll be able to say, and we all will be able to say, we have the mind of Christ. You cannot have the mind of Christ by yourself. It's only in the body of Christ, when we come together, when you are connected to the body, the Bible says, Paul says, you have the mind of Christ. That you is not a singular you. That you is a plural you. Are you listening to me this morning? We can never have the mind of Christ by ourselves. It is always when we are connected to his body. If you're excited, somebody say yes. And so, we believe God that you'll be anointed in your thinking. You'll have a renewed mind. Secondly and thirdly, we want to believe God that you'll have renewed sight. Are you listening to me? Because sight is very important. You must have anointed sight. You must have, thirdly, anointed hearing. Because if you can't hear, you can't see. Right through the Bible, it will say, and Jesus will say repeatedly, he that has legs, let him hear. No, he says, he that has ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. If you read the book of Revelation, it says, he that has ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. And why is sight is sight so important? Jesus is our model. Jesus says, I don't do anything on my own. I don't do anything on my own. Whatever I see. Come on, somebody say see. My Father doing, that is what I do. And we have to come to that place. Whatever we see the Father doing, I'm talking about God our Father, we do. How do we know what the Father is doing? When we go and read the Scriptures. See, if you don't read the Holy Scriptures, you won't know what the Father is doing. But if you read the Holy Scriptures, we know what the Father is doing. Why? Because the Father showed himself in Christ. So Jesus will say, they'll say, hey, how do we know about God? Jesus says, if you see me, what? But how? You have to see. Are you listening to me? Jesus says, if you see me, who have you seen? You have seen the Father. And so we have to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus lifted high. Is a song we sing, right? I want to see him. How many of you want to see Jesus? That's a very low turnout at the polls. How many of you want to see Jesus? That is like you're getting better. It's like, let's try it one more time. How many of you want to see Jesus? Yes. Hey, I want to see Jesus. Huh? If there's anything, I want to see Jesus. I want him more than anybody else. I don't know if you want to see Shah Rukh Khan. He's not going to help you, eh? Shah Rukh can't help you. He has his own problems. Amitabh Bachchan can't help you. Tom Cruise can't help you. But I'll tell you what. There is somebody who is the anointed one of God. He is the lily of the valley. He is the rose of Sharon. He is the water of life. He is the resurrection and life. He is the Lord and Lords. And brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, he is the King of Kings. Jesus the Christ. I want to see him. I want to see him. And so when you're anointed, you get a renewed mind. You get the mind of Christ. And when you get the mind of Christ, you hear him. You see him. You see him. And you want to be like him. And you do what he does. You'll do what he does. And how we need him this morning. Come on, how we need him this morning. We need less of ourselves and more of him. And so why do we get anointed? Why do we have the anointing? We have the anointing because in the Bible, it's God's blessing to his people. We have the anointing because it's God's protection to his people. We have the anointing because it's God's empowerment to his people. Listen, God wants to bless you. God is a God of blessings. You don't need a blesser in your life. You need God in your life. Are you listening? You need God. You need Jesus Christ. You need the anointed one in your life. And he'll bring his blessing over you because his blessing will make you fat. And it will never bring any sorrow. Are you listening to me this morning? And so you need blessings. God will bless you. God will set you apart. The reason why we are blessed to be set apart for his purpose. And that's what God does. He'll empower you. He'll empower you. He'll empower you. He'll give you grace in the point of your lowest self. And when you come to the end of the road, God will give you grace. And in your weakness, you become strong because he'll give you grace upon grace. God gives us anointing because he wants to protect us. God gives us anointing because he wants to empower us for service. Those who are chosen of God always get anointed of God. Are you listening? If you choose God, God will anoint you. God will anoint you to be chosen to serve him. He'll empower you. Are you listening? Those are the primary three things. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. Anointing is not superstition. It's not magic. Because the oil that we put on you, there's nothing magical about that oil. It's just ordinary things. It was made by somebody. But it symbolizes God's anointing. It symbolizes God's power. It symbolizes that God is setting you apart for a specific purpose. And that is why we use oil. That is why we use oil. Listen, there were three particular people that were anointed in the Old Testament. Three particular people. All priests were anointed. All prophets were anointed. And all kings were anointed. And we see in the New Testament that all of those three offices reside in Jesus Christ. Jesus is our priest. He is the only high priest now. We don't go to any priest. You don't go to a priest to ask your sins forgiven. You go to the one that is seated in the heavens, the one that makes ever lives to make intercession on our behalf. And that's what a priest does. A priest is somebody who is a bridge between a mediator between God and human beings. In the Old Testament, you had the priest, the mediator between God and humankind. You had the prophet, a messenger, somebody who speaks for God, the mouthpiece of God, somebody who teaches, somebody who reaches out to those that are lost, those that are marginalized, those that are bruised, those that are battered, those that are barren. And the prophet will reach out. Sometimes the prophet also would foretell the future. But we're not looking for some kind of words because we can be trapped by soothsayers. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a prophet who brings the word of God to you. And when the word of God comes to you, Jesus comes to you. He releases Jesus, the anointing of God in your life. And then the third amount of people was kings were anointed. And all of these three offices now reside in Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. Amen. And because it resides in Jesus Christ, listen, John 1:16, everybody say John 1:16. This is what it says. For of his fullness we have received grace upon grace. John chapter 1:16. For of his fullness we have received. Come on, I want you to say it together with me. John chapter 1, verse 16. Hey, come on, say it loud. John chapter 1, verse 16. Of his fullness we have received grace upon grace. Of his fullness we have received grace upon grace. Listen, everything that is in Christ also comes to us. So, listen. Christ is prophet, priest, and king. Are you listening? All converge. Each one of us are prophets, priests, and kings. The Bible says, for we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, called out of a peculiar people, God's own people, called out of darkness to demonstrate, to display his glorious light. Are you listening to me this morning? We are priests, prophets, and kings. Come on, I want you to say, we are priests, prophets, and kings. A king symbolizes, what does a king symbolize? A king symbolizes power with supreme authority over a territory or a jurisdiction. Jesus is the king of all kings. He is the master of the universe. There's nobody outside of Jesus. Jesus has no equal. Are you listening to me? Jesus has no rival, no competitor, no equal on the planet. All his foes have been defeated. Because of the cross and his resurrection, his ascension, Jesus, even Satan has been defeated. There's, everybody is under his feet. Jesus has no rival. No, there is no competitor. I want you to put that in your mind. Jesus is Lord of all. He is King of all kings. And the Bible says one day all the kingdoms of this world will bow to the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ. Are you listening? And every knee shall bow. Every knee shall bow. So, we are prophets, priests, and king. I want you to say it one more time. We are prophets, priests, and king. That means I am a prophet, priest, and king. Come on, I want you to say that means I am a prophet, priest, and king. I want you to say it three times. I am a prophet, priest, and king. I am a prophet, priest, and king. One more time. I am a prophet, priest, and king. I want to tell your neighbor behind you, you are a prophet, priest, and king. Very nice. Very nice. You are a prophet, priest, and king. And so all prophets, priests, and kings, what is the thing that sets them apart for their job, their service to God? What is the one thing that sets them apart? Tell me, what is the one thing that sets a priest, a prophet, and king apart for service? I gave you the answer early on. You're a bad class this morning. Sorry? The anointing. I knew you all know. The anointing is the one thing that sets you apart. Anointing. Nothing else. Not Bible school, not seminary, not university, not college, not how well you sing or you went to school. If that is the criteria, hey, I'm out. I can't make it because I can't sing. I won't make it because my vocabulary is not exhaustive. I won't make it because I'm maybe too dark. I may not make it because I didn't meet the height. Are you listening? I may not make it because, hey, I have massive loss of air. Do you understand? The one thing that sets apart priests, prophets, and kings is the anointed one anoints us. And Jesus is no respecter of persons. Whether you went to school, whether you didn't, whether you have 10 PhDs or no PhDs, whether you have money or no money, whether you are black, white, green, yellow, or blue like me, if you are a prophet, priest, and king, he wants to anoint you so that you can live for him and serve him. Everybody's okay? Everybody's okay? Somebody say yes. Yes. So, let me get to conclude. If God anoints us, and through his Holy Spirit, he anoints us, how do we grow in anointing? One, we have to keep our hearts and our lives clean and pure. Listen, there is a thing called holiness unto the Lord. The Bible says, be ye holy. Why? We must be holy. Why? Because I am holy. So, who you look to, that is who you become. Say if you keep looking at somebody who commits adultery, you become like that person who commits adultery. If you keep looking and hearing somebody who swears abusive, vulgar obscenities, you also will become that person who swears abusive, vulgar obscenities. If you keep looking at somebody who's a violent person, and that person is your hero. Look at the guns. So much blood. You also will become like that person, because who you behold most, you become. What you behold, you become. How many of you excited? Say amen. Amen. And so God calls for separation. I want to call you today to living separated lives to God. That's how you grow. When you are anointed, how are you going to grow? By living a separated, holy life unto God. Listen, when you start living a holy life to God, when you say, listen, I've drawn the line in the sand. In my house, we will not have blue movies in our house. In my house, we will not have swearing on the TV. In my house, we're not going to have CDs that says parental advisory. Because there's F's and B's on that CD. Are you listening to me? When you draw a line in the sand, you will be unpopular. Your family and your friends will say, oh, y'all think you're too holy. You forgot what y'all did yesterday. Right? That's what your family and friends will say. Y'all think you're too holy. You forgot what you must say. Your response is, yes, I forgot, because Jesus says in the Bible, he remembers my sin no more. You are saying the truth. Are you listening to me? You are saying the truth, because I also forgot. Jesus remembers our sin no more, and he forgives us as far as the east is from the west. I thought that was a good place to say amen. Listen, if you are anointed today, I want you each, we don't want to leave any person this morning. Every one of you will come, young and old, even right up to the babies. You come and get anointed, right? But I want you to leave and live holy lives unto God. Live for him. Live a separated life. Take all that DVDs and that CDs and everything. Don't sell it. Don't give it away. Burn it. Put it in the bin. Before you put it in the bin, damage it. Because there are things called scavengers. They go looking in the bin. They'll take your rubbish and they'll become rubbish. Are you listening to me? Are you listening? Take it and burn it. Make rubbish of it. Real rubbish. So, how are you going to keep the anointing? By having a pure heart and clean hands. Who will ascend into the hill of the Lord? Except those who what? Clean hands. Pure heart. Let your hands be clean every day. Have a pure heart. How are you going to grow in the anointing? Fellowship daily with the Holy Spirit. When you get up in the morning, say, good morning, Holy Spirit. Actually, Benny Hinn wrote a bestseller. The title of that book was Good Morning, Holy Spirit. I read that book when I was in Standard 9. It changed the way I thought about the Holy Spirit, right? When you get up in the morning, say, good morning, Holy Spirit. What shall I wear today? The Holy Spirit will show you what to wear. You'll get your colors right. You'll get the code right. And it'll be the perfect clothing for the day, right? Are you listening to me? Holy Spirit, when you get to the office, what shall I do today? Lead me onto what must I do first. Are you listening? You're growing with the Holy Spirit. Talk to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not a force. It's not an it. You don't say it will come. No, the Holy Spirit is a person. Come on, I want you to say the Holy Spirit is a person. We believe in the triune God, the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There are three persons in the Trinity, but one God, right? Okay, so the Holy Spirit is a person. Speak to the Holy Spirit. Get fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Come on, I want to say fellowship with the Holy Spirit. That means when you're driving, say, Spirit of the living God, Holy Spirit, I don't know. I'm going to this client today. And this client is terrible. They're always upset. Holy Spirit, prepare the way for me. Give me the words to speak. And also, Holy Spirit, I want to reach this wretched manager that I deal with the good news of Jesus Christ. Give me the opportunity to share Christ with him and help him to be calm when I go there and let him write that sale of 100,000. Prepare the way. Are you listening? Now, every day you start to do that while you're driving, while you're on your way to work, while you're in the office. Holy Spirit, come and show me what to do next. Help me with this Holy Spirit. Now you start to talk to the Holy Spirit. Are you listening? People may think you're mad, but you don't worry about them. You are crazy. When you talk to somebody who somebody can't see, that's craziness. But listen, I'd rather be a fool for Christ than a stupid for the devil. Do you understand what I'm saying this morning? Learn, develop a fellowship, a relationship with the Holy Spirit every day. Talk 24/7. In your sleep, talk to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will talk back to you. The Father in Christ will talk back to you. Are you listening to me this morning? It is possible. How do we grow in the Holy Spirit? We grow in the Holy Spirit when we allow the Holy Scriptures to speak to us. We keep reading the Scriptures. Put the Scriptures on in your house. Buy the CDs. You know, we can give you CDs where you can put the CD in your car, or the MP3. The Scriptures will be read to you. Have it playing in your house 24/7, 365. Have it playing in your car. Don't put that junk on. You see, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Joshua says, that was Matthew 4, 4. Joshua says in the book of Joshua chapter 1, if you meditate on the Scriptures day and night, it'll bring much success. How many of you want success in this congregation this morning? Then you've got to learn to meditate on that Holy Scriptures. Your relationship will grow. Your relationship would grow with the Holy Spirit. How do we grow in the Holy Spirit after we are anointed? We do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. When you say harsh things, you grieve the Holy Spirit. When you think ugly things, you grieve the Holy Spirit. When your actions are poor, doesn't represent Christ, you grieve the Holy Spirit. Before you do anything, ask yourself, ask your family, if Jesus was here now, what would Jesus think? What would Jesus say? What would Jesus do? After you've gone through the three tests, do it. Are you listening? So every day, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Lastly, how do you grow in the Holy Spirit? Listen, you grow in the Holy Spirit when you start to glorify Jesus. See, anything happens in your life, when you're anointed of God, I know anointed people because God just gives anointing in a second. He just downloads it. It's just, it's a work of grace. You don't earn it. God just gives it. Right? When signs and wonders and miracles happen in your life, when you touch somebody, when you just walk past somebody, you walked into the office, the presence of God all over the place. Immature people say, it was me. But when you're growing the Holy Spirit, you say, it's Jesus. You bow before him and say, thank you, Jesus, for doing that. You say, it's not me, it's Jesus. All glory to him. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? When you're going to grow in the anointing of God, you always point to him. And Jesus said, if he be lifted up, listen, if he is lifted up, he'll draw all people to himself. And we want people to be drawn to Christ, not to us. Finally, let me close. What is the evidence of the anointing in our lives? One, the primary evidence, listen, the primary evidence of the anointing in your life is faith, hope, and the greatest is what? Love. Are you listening? Your primary evidence in your life is love. Faith brings you to hope. Hope brings you to love. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God, right? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Faith brings you to hope. Christ is the hope of glory. He is the hope of the world. Hope brings you to a place called love. God is love. The primary evidence is the ability to love. One, you love God with all of your heart, soul, might, energy, strength. You love your neighbor. You love yourself. You love your enemies. People say bad things about you. You don't say bad things about them back. You love them. You stay silent. People want to fight with you. You don't fight back. You just walk away. Are you listening? Even though you are the boss, you can fire them. You walk away. People rile against you. You are bless them. You pray over them. You say, God, bless these people. Anoint them. Lord, give them more money. Let them become multi-millionaires. You don't curse. When somebody curses you, you bless them. Are you listening to me? That's how we know you're anointed. That's how we know you're anointed. Because you love God. You love people. You love your enemies. And you love lost people. See, when you're anointed of God, you love lost people. You see prostitutes on the road. You say, Lord, how can we reach them? How can we reach them, Lord? This lady is messed in sin. She's going to bring diseases on the nation. She's desecrating her body. She has no self-worth. Lord, how do we reach this woman? How does your love come to her? Help me, Lord. Give me an opportunity to speak to somebody who is in the gutter of sin. Are you listening? That's the evidence of the anointing. You see somebody broken and bruised. You see somebody far from God. Say, Lord, help me to reach them. What can I do? What can I say? What can I give? You see somebody poor and down and out. You go out of your way. You don't have anything. Yet you share your little with those that don't have. That's evidence of the anointing because you love people. Are you listening to me this morning? Are you listening to me this morning? Your love for God, your love for His people, your love for people in general, your love for people who are your enemies, and your love for lost people. Because you know what? Lost people matter to our God. Therefore, lost people matter to us. That's the evidence of the anointing, love. Somebody shout love.
Love.
Love. Secondly, and I'll be closed now. Seven evidences that you have the anointing of God. This is the anointing of God. It's not a false anointing. This is a genuine anointing. The first one is love, and I explained that very well. You can never be anointed of God and not have love. You have to demonstrate this love. And love is not a word. Love is a verb. Somebody say love is a verb. Love is a verb, not proverb. Love is a verb. Are you listening? Love is a verb. Come on, I want you to say love is a verb. It's something that you do, something that is done. You can't have love and I love them, I love them. No. Love is done. It's demonstrated. It's seen. It's visible. All can see it. Everybody will know. It's not something hidden. Secondly, the evidence of anointing is hunger and thirst for God and His righteousness and His word. When you listen, I want you this morning to develop a hunger and thirst for God, His word, His righteousness, His presence. That is why you don't walk away from the presence of God. You stay, you linger, you pause. Say, Lord, I'm hungry for you. I want you more than anyone else, more than life, more than my husband, more than my wife, more than my children, more than my job, more than the money I earn. I want you more. Are you listening? That's the evidence of the anointing in your life. When you are hunger and thirst after God and His word, when you want to read His word, listen to His word, you don't miss the opportunity. You take it with every ounce of strength and breath that you have. Thirdly, the evidence of the Holy Spirit anointing in your life is boldness. You have a newfound boldness. Are you listening? You are bold. You can walk in at work. People say, hey, I don't know how you do it. Hey, I don't know how I do it. You are right. I don't know how to do it. Listen. By nature, listen, I think I told you this before. By nature, I am an introvert. By nature, I used to stammer. I used to stammer. Are you listening? At school, I was stammering. I never spoke fluently. I couldn't at any point in my life be a public speaker. That role could never have been mine. I could never have been a preacher. Never. But listen, some of you have known me for almost 30 years. Hey, listen, some days when I stand up and preach, I know I'm world class. You don't have to tell me. I know who I'm worth. Do you understand? But how did I get that? Because of God's anointing. It is not me. I can tell you that. It is not me. Because I am an introvert by design. But when I stand up, people think, you are such a good speaker. No, I wish I was not speaking. I wish I was not speaking because I also stammer. But it's the anointing that gives you boldness. And listen, some of you're going to get a newfound boldness today. Once the Spirit of the living God comes upon you, you're going to be bold. You're going to tell your family and friends where to get off. You're going to tell them, please, I want to live my life for Christ. If you all don't want to live for Christ, it's fine. But don't hinder me. Are you listening? Don't hinder me because I have a hunger and thirst for God. I want more of Him today than yesterday. Tomorrow I'm going to, I want everything. Are you listening? A newfound boldness to witness for Him, to tell others about who Jesus is. How do you know you've been anointed? Listen, you speak in other tongues. And this morning, I trust that some of you will be baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Be open to it. Be desirous. Paul says, I speak more than anyone else in tongues to God. When you speak in tongues to God, it's a closed circuit. Listen, this is a very simple thing. It's a closed circuit communication between you and God. Some of the things you say are mysteries. It's worship unto God. Sometimes you get different kinds of tongues. Tongues of worship to God. Sometimes it's tongues for interpretation. Right? There's an interpretation for the tongue. But most of the times we're speaking to God and building up our faith. How are you going to build up your spirit? You build up your spirit when you read the word. You build up your spirit when you pray. You build up the spirit when you worship. You build up your spirit when you start to speak in tongues. Listen, there's closed communication sometimes. You know, some things cannot be, you cannot hack it. BlackBerry, the reason why BlackBerry wasn't accepted in some parts of the world is because it cannot be hacked. When you speak in tongues, it cannot be hacked. No other agency or intelligence can hack it. Because it's between you and God. The devil doesn't know what you're speaking. How many of you are listening to me? The devil has no idea. He's like, because he's dumb, he's further dumbed. He's dumbed down further because he has no idea what is going on here. Because you're speaking to God, you're speaking mysteries to God. That's what the Bible says. I don't know the rest, but that's all I know. I'm telling you what I know, right? And what the Bible says. So, an evidence of being anointed is speaking in tongues. And I want you to be desirous of that. Some of you I know, you say, no, I saw those people speaking in tongues. They're such a bad example. You know, that fella, he kicked his wife and he speaks in tongues. But what about your doctor? Your doctor stole money, but you still go to him? Why don't you say, no? I don't go to my doctor. My doctor stole money. No, you're still going there. Your doctor was a failure. He failed in his second year. You don't say, hey, my doctor is so good. But your doctor was a failure also. If you use that kind of association, it's a very poor, bad association. It's a bad association. You get flakes. You get fakes. You get phonies. But listen, there is an authentic. There is always an authentic. And we are authentic. I want to say to you this morning, we are authentic. And so there is a case for speaking in tongues. Be desirous. Be open. If that happens to you, then just let it happen. Say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Whatever you want to do, right? What's the evidence for speaking in tongues? Signs, wonders, and miracles. Listen, signs, wonders, and miracles should become normal in the church, should become normal in our families, and normal in your life. When you pray, signs, wonders, and miracles should happen. There should be supernatural stuff happening in your life. Are you listening to me this morning? Say signs, wonders, miracles. It must become normal. Normal in your life. You go to work and somebody is sick at work, you're not going to say, the first thing you'll say is like, you know, I think you must take Panado, you must take this. Why don't you have the boldness to say, listen, can I meet you in the boardroom? Because I'd like to pray with you, right? Because sometimes you must be sensible also, because you can't be standing in the office there and the clients coming and everybody. Be sensible. So be appropriate. And then you take your colleague to the boardroom and say, now, in the name of Jesus, Jesus, touch David, heal him. Thank you for strength. Amen. And trust God for a miracle of healing to take place. Then tell David, please, also you need to go see the doctor and follow your medication. All right? So signs and wonders will follow you. What is the evidence of being anointed? You live a holy, pure, and clean life. What is the evidence of being anointed? Your love for the family of God. Your love for his house. Because we are the house of God. Are you listening? David says, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God. Are you listening? I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God. This is where we must be. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God. So what will you say this morning? Here am I, Lord. Here am I. Come on, I want you to say, here am I. Say, here am I. Isaiah said, here am I, Lord. Isaiah chapter 6. Here am I. Send me. Here am I. Use me. Here am I. I will go. Who will go for us? And Isaiah says, I am here. I'm making myself available. I will go. In the book of Genesis, chapter 22, Jesus said, here am I. Here I am. Here I am. If we come with a heart that says, here I am, I want you to listen to me. All through the scriptures, you'll see Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Noah, Moses, Ezekiel, Isaiah, Elijah, Elisha, Jesus, Paul, Timothy, Titus, Barnabas, all the apostles, all of them said, yeah, I am. Use me. I'm making myself available. It's not ability. It's availability. When you make yourself available, God will give you ability. Are you listening to me? Don't worry about, oh, I don't know. I didn't go to Bible school. Listen, I went to Bible school. It's not there. Listen. I want to listen to me this morning. I went to Bible school. I have the highest level of theological training that the earth could have given me. But I'm telling you, it's zero. As compared to the anointing and the grace and the wisdom of God. Not that it's unnecessary, it's necessary. But listen, when you make yourself available, God will give you ability. He'll give you anointing. He'll give you wisdom. He'll give you grace. He'll pour it down on you. When you say, yeah, I am Lord, use me. That must be our posture. Or everybody in the scriptures, Genesis, Revelation said, yeah, my Lord. But I want you to understand this. When we say that, God says, yeah, I am also. How many of you want God to say to you, yeah, I am, and make himself available to you? I want you to turn over to the book of Genesis chapter 22 and verse number 11, and then we closed. Right? I preached too long this morning. Genesis chapter 22, verse number 11. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. And you'll see right through the scriptures, when God speaks, he doesn't speak once. He always speaks twice. That, you know, is the voice of God. Jesus even will say, in the Bible, verily, verily. Are you listening? Paul will say, rejoice in the, and what? Again, I say, this is the voice of the Lord. He says, Abraham, Abraham. Here I am. Here I am. Are you listening? God wants to say, yeah, I am to you. When you say, yeah, I am to him, he'll say, yeah, I am. He is the font of all grace, all anointing, him. We are just mediums. I can touch you. We can lay hands on you. But when God lays his hand on you, that's the ultimate. Brothers and sisters, I want you to say, yeah, I am. There's a world waiting out there. Outside of these buildings, there's a world waiting. Some of you here, God will raise you up to go to the nations of the earth. Are you listening? I want to prophesy over you this morning. Some of you seated here, God will raise you up, and I've spoken to some of you already. God will raise you up to go to the nations of the earth. Let me say it again. Some of you seated here this morning, God will raise you up to go to the nations of the earth. There's nothing fancy about that, because some of us will stay and go across the road. Are you listening? Some of us will stay and go to another town. Some of us will go to another city in our own Gauteng. Some of us will go across the sea. But whatever, God will raise you up. God will give you the boldness. God will give you the equipment. God will give you the energy. God will give you the grace. He'll give you the wisdom. God will give you the words. Because God has anointed you. And you said, yeah, I am. Yeah, I am. Yeah, I am. Come on, I want you to say, yeah, I am. Say it one more time. Yeah, I am. Use me, Lord. Come on, I want you to say, use me. Use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. This morning, I trust, will be a very significant time for all of us. For all of us, every person, every family in this church, and us as a family of God. That as you get anointed, God will start to speak to you, even before you get anointed. God is speaking to you right now. God is speaking to you right now. And our response will be a one of humility. God, I'm not too young. I'm not too old. Use me. Here I am. Use me. Use me. I want you to raise your hands towards heaven. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this awesome morning. Yes. Father, we want to stay in your presence. Yes. We invoke your presence this morning. Yes. Let the glory of the Lord fill the sanctuary. Let the fire come down from the heavens. Father, we want to see Jesus high and lifted up. We want to experience him this morning. And let your anointing come upon us. Let deliverance flow, let healing flow, wisdom, grace, Lord, strength, new vision, Father. Give us new minds, new sight, new ability to hear your voice. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We break up every limitation. We declare an abundance of your grace, abundance of finances, abundance of resources, abundance of prosperity. Father, I declare that every person, every family in this church will experience an abundance of your grace. Now, Lord, cause them to have an abundance of wealth, abundance of prosperity. I declare prosperity on your children this morning. Yes, Lord. Everyone, young and old, young and old, male and female, prosper them with grace, spiritual things. But also, Lord, prosper them with spiritual things, cars and houses, clothes, quality food, finances upon finances. Let it rain down on them. Give them opportunities for business, new careers, upgrades at work, increase in the name of Jesus. Let it happen. Father, we're saying this morning, as a community, as a household, as the house of God, we are available. Here I am. Use me. We ask that in the name of the one that died and rose again. His name is above every other name, the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, and our King. And everybody shouted, Amen.